Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Psalms 146 and verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help." We need to place our faith and our trust and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to place our faith, trust, and our confidence in Him, because if we place our faith, trust, and confidence in any denomination, religious denomination, or if we place our faith and trust and confidence in any political association or party, it is futile. We have no hope. Our help comes from the Lord and from no other. That is the confidence that we ought to have today. But we need to understand from the human standpoint what is taking place. We need to understand the ingredients that's going into the destruction of our nation. And part of that, ladies and gentlemen, began on the exponential fast track about a year ago with the scare of COVID, with the man-made released either by happenstance or purposely on the world out of the Wuhan Chinese lab at the hand of Dr. Anthony Fauci, with the cost of $3.7 million from American taxpayers for the engineered pathogen that took place in the lab in Wuhan, China. And there's still a debate as to how it was released. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, using COVID as a guise for frightening Americans into shutting down with the forced closure of the business, the lockdown of the churches, and then also, ladies and gentlemen, with the mask mandate, you know, we were told, I believe it was about February the 8th, February the 18th, or the part of February of 2020, that Dr. Anthony Fauci said that masks are not needed. We're just dealing with the common flu, different strain, but the common flu. And then less than a month later in March, early part, first, second week in March, all of a sudden Anthony Fauci said that we need to wear masks. Later, months later, when questioned about that, he said, well, I had to lie because I thought it was wise to lie to people in order to preserve the mask for the healthcare workers. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the case at all. He is a pawn. He is a puppet for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He is a pawn. He is a puppet for the World Health Organization, which is a pawn and a puppet for the Chinese Communist Party that have influenced the world through the supposed health standards coming out of World Health Organization. But ladies and gentlemen, the mask mandates that have there's not an element of scientific validation that says that it prevents COVID-19. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you disbelieve that, go to Walmart, wherever you buy any of the masks, look at the side of it, it says it does not prevent COVID-19. In fact, it will warn you on the side of the box not to be worn more than 2 to 4 hours because it reduces your health and the levels of your immune system dramatically. But ladies and gentlemen, the American spirit of self-sufficiency and dependence upon God has now been destroyed. Most of the citizens today simply obey every directive from the Marxist mayors, the socialist governors, and the Biden agenda of Build Back Better. And that Biden agenda of Build Back Better is a socialist term, a Marxist term, a communist term. That is, we must tear down the present government in order to build back better, i.e., tear down and destroy capitalism, tear down and destroy the Bill of Rights so that we can build back the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda, which is viewed as being better than the constitutional republic of which we have today in America. It's the Marxist socialist slogan, ladies and gentlemen, that is to destroy the constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that I wish could take place across America. It says, strip governors of their COVID emergency powers. From Pennsylvania to California, Americans are relearning what Lord Action warned about over two centuries ago. Power corrupts, giving governors emergency powers to fight COVID-19. Listen to this article, is destroying our civil liberties and endangering all lives, end quote. Goes further saying, the stench from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's nursing home carnage and months-long cover-up is finally causing even Democratic polls in Albany to turn against him. At least 14 are now joining Republicans to demand Cuomo be stripped of his emergency COVID-19 powers. And the article further says, and not a day too soon, Cuomo issued those powers to shut restaurants, other businesses, to close schools, to close churches, to impose heavy-handed restrictions on houses of worship until the U.S. Supreme Court rebuked him. Emergency powers should last for a week or a few weeks or maybe even a month, just long enough to keep the public safe until the legislature can swing into action. Instead, Cuomo has wielded emergency powers for 11 months now, only having disastrous consequences for businesses, workers, churches, school children, and the elderly, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part and parcel of the problem across America. We have right here in Jacksonville an empty suit that's called a mayor that continues and has for 7 months now, issuing 30-day executive orders, forcing people to be petrified continually that you've got to wear a mask or you're going to die. When 85% of those that died with COVID-19, 85% of them wore masks 97% of the time. But we're talking about the ingredients, ladies and gentlemen, how to destroy a nation. And it's by having the guise of COVID to cover for the mayors and the governors to come in with executive orders to force businesses to close, to force churches to close, to force you to wear a mask, to force us to bow and bend at every whim and every wish of the socialist Marxist government as they're building up the power to literally overthrow and stand up the shadow government. Now, Biden, in the Biden administration, is moving with lightning speed, as John Brennan said, with laser speed, to fully disarm American citizens. There's six new gun bills that's now working their way through the House. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about those gun bills. We'll talk about how America is now in a position with the borders being left wide open and how this is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, because there's one element that we will talk about in this broadcast that is a major element, that you get the nation in a position that they're so drugged out on marijuana and opioids that they're simply living in a dream world, a fog world, and will do or say anything that appeases the government so they can keep on having an income, keep on having medical care, et cetera, without any care, without any concern about America's sovereignty. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
You know, Joe Biden like to use that theme in the midst of the campaign that never existed, you know, in the midst of his basement campaign, in the midst of his, you know, let's fill a telephone booth with my supporters at a rally campaign. he liked to use those words, and he likes to use them today, build back better. And, you know, it's very interesting to note the fellow that was in the White House for 4 years, he built a lot of things. But I can't think of a single thing. Maybe a caller can call in. What has Joe Biden ever built? I mean, ever in his entire – what has he built? And I'm not talking about in ninth grade, did he build a model for some science lab? You know, I want to know, has he ever built anything of substance? What has AOC ever built? What has Chucky Schumer, what has he ever built? He's been in government his entire life. What has he ever built? What do these folks that intend to destroy this capitalist system undergirded by Christian principles, what do they intend to replace this with? Because I'll tell you, everything that I'm seeing, the pieces all fit together into a Fabian society model. And folks, look that term up and start reading. You may upchuck a little bit, you know. The Fabian Society, F-A-B-I-A-N, Fabian Society. I mean, this began many, many, many moons ago. But the notion is to remold it nearer to the heart's desire. You know, the idea is destroy, to crush, and to remake. Matter of fact, it's very interesting. Their little logo shows a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, we're seeing that in real life today. And part of that, you know, crushing the culture, crushing the society, why do you think when we let a million folks, we have for 20 years, each year, a million folks come to the United States and become citizens of the United States. They come in as refugees or they come in as immigrants, and we legally allow a million a year into the United States. That's more than any other country on earth. But on top of that million that come here legally, by the way, if we're a racist country, why would we have tens of millions over the past decades that have come here from predominantly black or brown countries? Why would they come to America if we're a racist country? This is still the greatest country on God's green earth. I don't care where you're from. I don't care where you're from. This is the greatest country on God's green earth. But, you know, let's fast forward. Why in the world, on top of this million, would Joe Biden want to make legal or give legal status to another 20 to 25 million? They're talking about 10 or 11 million. Folks, it's not. It's 20 or 25 million. Why would they want that? Why would they want to leave the floodgate open? The floodgate open for folks to come here and also to dangle the, hey, we're going to give you free stuff. We're not going to leave you over there in Mexico. You come over here, we'll make sure you got a bed, a head, and a place to get fed. We're going to put you up, and we're going to make sure that you're treated for it. How much of that can we afford? The reality is we're $30 trillion in debt, over $100 trillion in offline debt. Those are unfunded liabilities. If you do not believe me, go to usdebtclock.org and look at the numbers. And those numbers are growing faster than you could possibly imagine. And they're talking about right now, they're saying go big, you know, with their spending. They're spending money that belongs to your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids that haven't even been born yet. That's what you call this. Literally, the implosion that is coming is by design. When America collapses economically and the people are begging, just begging for help, they will give up anything. Folks in Venezuela today will sell themselves. Do you understand me, folks? In the most, whatever the most horrid thing comes to mind in your mind right now, when I say they will sell themselves, whatever that most horrid thing is, they're willing to do it in Venezuela to keep from starving to death. They did an experiment in socialism, and it went wrong, just like every single experiment in socialism has ever gone wrong. It's chaos. They're begging for it. They're asking for it.
Absolutely. And as Greg, as you just stated, I'm looking at a headline article that says Biden recommits to amnesty for 22 million illegal aliens. And it goes on to talk about his unveiling his immigration plan, and he's recommitting himself, granting amnesty to every illegal alien in the United States presently, up to the number of 22 to 25 million, according to the estimates. Further in the article, it says, along with the fast track to American citizenship, Biden plan calls for a 700%, listen, 700% increase in the refugee resettlement program, reinstatement of Central American minors program, and work permits for families, including H-1B and the H-2B visa holders, more employment-based and chain migration visas, a fast track to the U.S. for Central America families and citizens, and expansion of the diversity visa lottery program, end quote. In other words, Greg, as I read the article, and there's about 25 million, I mean, about 25,000, 25, 26,000 coming in now across the borders because they're not being held in Mexico any longer, but they're free to come across the borders. Along with this 22 to 25 million, some have estimated that when Biden is finished, this first 100 days will be approximately 40 million additional voters for the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. So what we're watching, Greg, just as you're alluding to, is the fact that we're watching the tectonic change of the demographics in America for the purpose of re-election and the re-election in perpetuity of the Democratic Socialist Marxist agenda to totally change America into a communist nation. You can't look at it any other way. And yet when we realize that Biden has now said not only stopping the wall from being built, but I read an article this morning where he's talking about removing the walls that's been built, 450 miles of walls, that President Trump had put in place. We need to realize the dangers, and it's what we have been talking about on today's broadcast, Greg. We're watching the ingredients, piece by piece, of the destruction of America, as Obama put the term, to fundamentally change of the United States of America. Greg, hold on for a moment. I believe we have Randy on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, I got a question. I listen to your show almost every day, and I keep in touch with the news, not the mainstream, obviously, because I want to know a little bit of the truth. And I'm just rubbed the wrong way or don't feel right about what's going on in the church, especially that there's not enough preachers reaching out and doing the research and tying the word in what's going on today around us. What is your perspective on that? If a church is just, which is always good that we get the word and we get fed, but that's not really, you know, getting the church perspective on what's going on today and warning the body of Christ of what's going on today and what should we do to prepare and how should we go on with our lives outside of the building. And I'll take your comments off here.
Randy, thank you so much for your call. Let me just simply answer this way, and Greg, you can jump in at any point. I've simply said, if you've been listening to the broadcast any length of time, pastors need to grow a spine. Pastors need to stand up for what is truth. Pastors need to stand up for the Word of God. Pastors need to call the sheep back into the under the leadership of the under-shepherd, which is the pastor, and preach and teach the full gospel. That is everything from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, which is talking about the home government and the church, and stop being silent about what is taking place. One of the problems that we find, and I've said this for many, many times, if the church is willing to stay closed and say that we're still obeying God, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because that is simply not the case at all. Greg, jump in for a moment, then I'll wrap up that thought and tap the loose ends on Randy's question.
You know, when Billy Sunday preached, he didn't mince words, and he basically called the church to engage. Essentially, we have a lost, dying world around us, and you can't very well engage that culture, engage that society without calling out things. And basically, the church has become, you know, the church looks a lot like the world today.
Yes.
It engages as the world engages, and it's begun to ignore the things that the Bible calls sin. And it's, you know, basically what when sin is called out, you know, sharing the truth in love is identifying that sin and pointing to the need for redemption, pointing to the need for a Savior. And we have begun to look so much like the world that the world figures it doesn't need anything. It looks just like we do. You know, there's nothing – we need revival in the church today like we've never needed it before, because we look so much like the world.
You're right, and the way that comes about, Greg, is for Christians to repent of sin, and that means repent means to turn and to change. But yet the churches, every denomination today, every mainline denomination – have in some way embraced the agenda of the LGBTQ sodomite community. They've embraced the fact that lying is okay if you need to. Most denominations have embraced, especially the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, they've embraced the fact that drugs are all right. And that's one of the things that any nation that wants to control its people will allow drugs to be totally free-flowing and used, so that there'll be a dazed, comatose society that will accept anything the government says. And we're watching that with 35 states now have legalized drugs. 35 states have not just legalized marijuana, or as little boy says, marijuana, pot, in other words, but also other high-potency things like fentanyl and opioids, et cetera, that's been legalized across the nation, and it's bringing America to the point where the drugged-out society will simply say yes to government. If the government's going to provide them with food, clothing, and shelter and income, then somehow, some way, they need to say yes. Greg, hold on a minute. I believe we have William on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, I have a question. I just heard a fellow on your first-time listener, but I am going to start listening. I just heard a fellow on your radio station said America is not a racist country. And I was raised in South Carolina. And the kids, they shot 8 kids in the back, the white police, because they wanted to go bowl at South Carolina State University, 1968. Just recently in the state of South Carolina, a fellow went in a church and killed 8 people in Bible study. You know what I mean? Just praising God, white fellow. And there were instances where black folk were leaving church on Sunday and hung on trees after worshiping God. And
brother,
I heard this fellow say a Christian country, I just want to clarification from you. I think you're a man of the cloth, because Ku Klux Klan lynched and hung black people and went to church. So I just want to hear your observation.
Yes.
I appreciate
yes.
it. William Brown's my name.
William Brown. Well, William, thank you so much for your call and for your insight. I understand the heartburn that you have with the statement you made. It's understandable in your voice, understandable in your passion. But listen, if America, I understand race, what is called racism today, some refer to it as systemic racism. There's no such thing as systemic racism. Look up the word systemic in your dictionary. Yes, it's the heart that is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 says, yes, regardless of whether it's on the side of the aisle that says black or white, there's still racism, if you want to use that term, the animus in the heart that comes from a wicked heart, a lost heart. So you can't say that it's just white. You can't say that it's just black. But there's a problem with the heart of man in the United States of America and around the globe. But I can tell you this. America needs to stop harboring that sense that somehow, some way, need to have reparation because of racism or because of what happened 400 years ago or 200 years ago or 300. In fact, the study has just been made that there's less than 2% of Americans that can recall anybody in their family that had anything to do with slavery, and yet that continues to be brought up. If America is such a racist nation, why do we have so many brown skin and black skin people wanting to come to the United States of America if it's such a racist country? It's because we've been sold a lie, been made to believe that somehow, some way, we're a horrible country, and as a result of that, that we ought to be destroyed as a nation. Greg, what are your points that you'd like to add to that? Greg, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Hello? So you're saying that this happened in the past?
Yeah, if you're hearing me now, a black person is better off in the United States today than in any other country on the face of the planet. Matter of fact, America, if we're going to study all the elements, we need to study all the elements. Just about every people group on earth has been enslaved at some point in time in our culture. So let's not just, you know, if we talk about slavery, understand that slavery is a pandemic kind of thing. It's been all over the earth. Slavery still exists in black countries throughout Africa today. The United States did away with slavery. But if we're going to focus on slavery, let's focus on it for a minute. 95% of black African slaves went somewhere other than the colonies that became the United States of America, and more white Europeans were enslaved and dragged back across the Mediterranean into North Africa than there were black Africans that were sold into slavery that ended up in the colonies that became the United States. So let's get the whole picture straight. When we start talking about shooting and all, that shooting takes place every single week in the south side of Chicago. It's much more horrific, that violence than all the white-on-black violence that's out there. It's horrible, and that hate is the core component, not black and white. We focus so much on black and white, we stopped focusing on being Americans.
That's right.
There are many Christians out there they're more black or they're more white than they are Christian. Folks, you know, get your priorities in order. Get your priorities in order. But let's analyze these things and be truthful about them. If you have to step back to the 60s to undergird your disdain for today, maybe you need to get in the 21st century. And I don't mean that as a slap, but today, how are you as a black person, as a white person? I mean, I can step back to 1992 in room 101 in City Hall, where 8 or 9 out of the 12 available jobs on the board for the city of Jacksonville on the top said 4 black applicants only. By the way, I just happen to be a white guy. So that discriminated against me. Did Jacksonville, Florida, have racism within its hiring practices in the 60s? Yes, sir. In the 70s? Yes, sir. In the 90s? Yes. And it reversed. And all of a sudden, somehow or another, that was okay. Now, I've never been a racist in my life. I have black brothers and sisters the same as every color in the rainbow. The fact that my Christian identity is more important than my white identity. But if I wanted to harp on racism, I'd say I've been a victim of racism. But I'm not going to harp on that. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian first. I'm an American before I'm black or white. That falls way down the list.
So I would say then, Greg, as you're saying to our caller, William, I would say, yeah, brother, we need to focus on the heart of man and understand that the heart of man is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us. So whether it's white or black, regardless of the skin color, that hatred is still going to be in the heart. That animus toward mankind will still be in the heart until that individual says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And we need to recognize the dangerous position that we're in America today. We're tearing ourselves apart as a nation. We're looking introspectively at skin color. We're looking introspectively at the socioeconomic divide. We're looking introspectively at all of these differences rather than looking at where we are as Americans. And especially as Christians, we need to honor God and serve Him and ask God to come in and heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is more important today than ever, I believe, in the history of our nation. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.